Now, Ron says a good agreement in the Vienna talks on the 2015 accord hinges on the behavior and goodwill of other parties. China says it firmly opposes the Cold War mentality concept permitted in a bill passed by the U.S. House of Representatives. And security forces in Sudan fire tear gas at anti-coup protesters as demonstrations continue unabated against the junta. Hello and welcome. Your world news coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. My name is Gisum Shahmadi. Now, Iran says a good agreement in the Vienna talks on the 2015 accord hinges on the behavior and goodwill of other parties. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian says parts of Iran's demands are yet to be addressed in the discussions. Amir Abdullahian says that will be the subject of the upcoming negotiations with the P4+1. He says all sides will focus on a joint document in which they state their commitment to the removal of anti-Iran sanctions. Earlier, Secretary of the Supreme National Security Council of Iran also warned that Tehran will enter no agreement in the talks that does not end United States' maximum pressure campaign. Ali Shamkhani says any agreement that does not remove the bans could not be a basis for a favorable deal. Our correspondent in Vienna, Homa Lezgi, has been closely monitoring the eighth round of talks between Iran and the remaining signatories to the 2015 deal. She joined us earlier to share with us the main questions still unresolved between the two sides.
Saying that this is related to the Americans. They were saying that the ball is in the U.S. court. If they make the necessary political decisions, which of course includes sanctions lifting and verification and guarantees, then things can move forward. These are the key questions now in the talk, some of the key issues that still need to be resolved. Can the Americans give the Iranians the political, economic, and legal guarantees when it comes to giving promises that the U.S. will not withdraw from the JCPOA again, that the deal can indeed be seen as a sustainable long-term agreement? Will a new president in America do what the Trump administration did? Will the sanctions be just temporarily lifted? You know, both Iran and any foreign company or firms that want to do business in Iran, that want to invest in Iran, need to have these guarantees. But how can you word them? How can you put them inside this agreement that is, as we've said before, not a treaty? There have been questions as to how this can be worded in the agreement, but the positive is that all sides, all participants agree that this is a reasonable demand, but how can it be put into the agreement and how far will the U.S. go to give these kinds of guarantees that would be acceptable for Iran?
Earlier, we reached out to a political commentator, Masoud Chajareh, to get his insight into these developments. He says a good agreement is the one that ensures the benefits of Iran under the 2015 deal, as it does for other signatories to the JCPOA.
The reality is that the whole sort of reasoning of this agreement originally was to be an agreement which actually both parties will benefit. It would clarify the situation vis-a-vis of the nuclear environment between Iran and give assurances that it is for peaceful purposes, which Iran has always claimed. And then from other side, all those demonization, all those tools which was used to sort of punish Iran for something which was the right of Iran to be removed. This was the agreement which was reached originally in 2015, and if you're going to go back to that agreement, which is what everybody claims they want to do, then of course all those sanctions has to be removed, and those same assurances needs to be strengthened and agreed and implemented. So we basically are implementing an agreement which already have been made, nothing more, nothing less, which includes all the sanctions to be removed, and Iran would be allowed to sort of fulfill its economic sort of interest.
China has reacted to a bill recently passed by the U.S. House of Representatives that calls for strengthening American competitiveness and countering China. Beijing says the bill shows the U.S. has not moved away from its Cold War mentality.
We have noticed that the U.S. House of Representatives passed the so-called America Competes Act of 2022. The content relating to China in the bill is permeated with the Cold War mentality and zero-sum concept, slandering China's path of development and domestic and foreign policies, advocating strategic competition with China, and pointing fingers at issues related to Taiwan, Xinjiang, Hong Kong, and Tibet. China firmly opposes this.
Now, Li Jiang says the bill once again exposes Washington's bullying, which goes against global peace, security, and cooperation. He urges the U.S. to delete the negative content in the bill related to China and to refrain from advancing the legislation. Li Jiang warns the bill will undermine America's own interests. The House passed the multi-billion dollar America Competes Act of 2022 last week. It is largely aimed at boosting the U.S. scientific research and development and shore up domestic manufacturing. The Senate passed a similar bill last June. The two chambers will spend the next few weeks hammering out differences over the two bills and eventually sending the final version to President Joe Biden. Now, more U.S. troops arrive in southeastern Poland following an order by President Joe Biden. This is the latest development in the ongoing standoff between the West and Moscow over Ukraine. Over the past few days, a series of U.S. elite forces, advance groups, and military vehicles arrived in an airport near the Polish border with Ukraine. These measures follow Western accusations that Russia is planning an invasion of the country. Moscow dismisses the allegations. Also, Russian President Vladimir Putin is meeting his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron. The crisis over Ukraine is dominating the talks, but the Kremlin says it is not expecting any decisive breakthroughs from that meeting. Moscow says the U.S. and its allies have not yet responded to the security guarantees that the Kremlin has demanded regarding NATO's eastward expansion. We asked journalist Dmitry Zolotarev to share with us his perspective on the current standoff. He says the U.S. is using Ukraine as a pretext to impose more sanctions on Russia.
As I see it, it's just another show off from the world champion of lies, the United States government. The fact is, they just using any pretext to impose more sanctions or pressure on Russia. So they create fake allegations, absolutely not unsubstantiated, to show in the Western media that Russia is preparing to full-scale war and wants to destroy Ukraine, so on and so forth. The fact is that all those moves of the United States troops to Europe is just another way of the United States and NATO to come closer to Russian borders.
Moving on, in Sudan, anti-coup demonstrations show no signs of abating, with protesters and security forces once again facing off in the street of the capital, Khartoum. Security forces fired tear gas to push back protesters who were marching towards the presidential palace. The protesters were chanting slogans against coup leaders, demanding the return of a civilian rule. They also called for justice for those who were killed in military crackdowns Since last year, the country was thrust into chaos after the military seized power and dissolved the transitional government on October 25th. Nearly 80 people have been killed and hundreds of others injured since then. Maracas held a funeral ceremony for a small boy who lost his life after being trapped in a well for 5 days. Hundreds took part in the funeral service near the boy's home village. The five-year-old Ryan Aram died on Saturday despite extensive rescue efforts. He fell into the well and the hills. The incident and a painstaking rescue operation captivated in the entire country and beyond. The boy died before rescuers could retrieve his body after removing much of the adjacent hillside and delicately tunneling a horizontal passage into the well. The Moroccan king has sent condolences to the bereaved parents on the tragic incident. Moving on, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have held a sit-in to show solidarity with thousands of other Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli prisons. Protesting at the Red Cross office in Gaza City, they have demanded an immediate end to Tel Aviv's inhuman treatment of Palestinian prisoners. Ashraf Shannon has more.
Advocates and families of Palestinian prisoners have protested at the Red Cross office in the besieged Gaza Strip in solidarity with thousands of Palestinian inmates languishing inside Israeli jails. They protested Israel's inhumane treatment of Palestinian political prisoners. According to the Commission of Detainees and Ex-Detainees Affairs, hundreds of Palestinian prisoners are suffering from medical negligence.
Israel is practicing systematic medical negligence against Palestinian prisoners. Currently, more than 700 prisoners are suffering from chronic illnesses and are denied proper medical care. Palestinian prisoners also must not be treated inside military hospitals.
Hundreds of Palestinians are also being held in Israeli jails without charge or trial under the so-called administrative detention, where incarceration periods can be renewed indefinitely. During a press conference outside the Red Cross office, the Islamic Jihad movement slammed the inhumane Israeli policy of administrative detention.
As we stand here, we affirm our support for Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails, especially those held under administrative detention. They have been refusing to attend courts for 38 days now, because administrative detention is illegal and is a crime against Palestinians.
Palestinian prisoners are denied basic human rights and continue to languish behind bars as Tel Aviv continues to violate international laws and norms regarding the treatment of prisoners.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails are prisoners of war, and they must be treated according to international law and norms. Because we are under occupation, Palestinian prisoners need international protection, and Israel must be held accountable for its crimes against the prisoners.
Palestinian prisoners also suffer from prolonged solitary confinement and inhumane detention conditions.
Latest figures by human rights groups show that the Israeli regime has arrested over 1 million Palestinians since 1967, including women and children. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Four decades after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Yemenis say they are still being inspired by the event and, most importantly, by the key role of this supporting the Palestinian cause. Our correspondent, Abdullatif Al-Washali, reports.
Iranians celebrate the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution that transformed the country from a U.S. ally to a bitter opponent. Yemenis are still facing a deadly U.S.-backed war. This has urged Yemeni politicians to try to learn more about the Islamic Revolution and its stance against U.S. hegemony.
The region was about to fall prey to the American Zionist project, and the Arab regimes would have given up on the Palestinian cause, resulting in the further oppression of the Palestinians and the deterioration of the Arabs' dream of liberation from American hegemony. The Islamic Revolution turned Iran into the first country to be freed from U.S. dependence. It created a psychological balance among the people. As for the Arab puppet regimes, they feared the danger of the people and delayed their normalization with the Zionists. Today, Muslims are aware of U.S. dominating policies and find liberation necessary.
Yemeni politicians and scholars say the Islamic Revolution keeps on inspiring Yemeni people to stand against the U.S. and its supported forces in the region, just as they did on their September 21st revolution 8 years ago.
I still remember the outbreak of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. I was studying in secondary school and Arab people were constantly talking about it. We even wore t-shirts with the image of Imam Khomeini. But given the importance of this revolution, many Arab dictators started to ban the clothes that had the image of Imam Khomeini on them. And this is one of the first memories that I have of the Islamic Revolution. The Yemeni people have learned a lot from the Islamic Revolution in Iran. It encouraged them to stand against the colonial policies in their own country. And this also sparked their revolution of September 21st, 2014.
Since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iran has always been a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause and has marked the International Quds Day, and now it is also standing beside the people of Yemen in the U.S.-backed Saudi-led war against them.
Observers say all the free people of the world must look up to the Islamic Revolution of Iran and follow in the footsteps of its leaders in order to stand against the U.S. hegemony. They say the Islamic Revolution will remain a source of pride for all Yemenis. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
As the energy crisis deepens in the U.K., a Scottish minister has warned that thousands of Britons would fall into fuel poverty amid soaring prices. Now, critics say a planned hike in energy, including electricity bills, is extremely worrying for many people. And now, with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
From the very heart of evergreen forests, under the starry sky of the desert, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, close up, Iran.
Hello, I am Mitra, an Iranian nature traveler. To know more about the wonders and beauties of magnificent Iran, keep me company.
God. So scary. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't continue watching this movie anymore. I'd better turn off the television. Watching a horrific movie at this time of the night was not a good idea. Oh, even the clock's ticking scares me. My constant fear may have its roots in my tomorrow's trip to the Lake of Ghosts. Mambra's Lake, or the Lake of Ghosts, is located 32 kilometers from the city of Nowshahr and is in proximity of Salaheddin Kala village. The local name for this lake is Mambraz, but it is better known by the name the Lake of Ghosts, given it in reference to its eerie swampland landscape featuring countless half-drowned trees, often shrouded in mist, giving them the appearance of phantoms. Mambraz Lake, or the Lake of Ghosts, is actually a natural historical phenomenon. This lake has been registered nationally in order to preserve its animal and plant species. The lake's surface and its surroundings are covered with alder and hornbeam trees. The hornbeam tree, with the scientific name of Carpinus betulus, is a tree species native to Iran. The height of this tree can reach between 15 and 25 meters. It has a trunk bearing a smooth gray-green bark. The dead or moribund specimens protruding from the lake have suffered considerable decay from having been partially submerged in its waters for many years. I am now on a beautiful forest route. To reach the Lake of Ghosts, I have to walk 15 kilometers. This forest is amazing, and the sound of birds has doubled its beauty. Thank God I haven't seen anything scary up to now. It's just tall trees and the sound of birds. God, what a wonderful scenery. I am now standing by the Lake of Ghosts, and I can't believe what I see. The lake is covered with a heavy fog. Weird remains of trunks in the middle of the lake. It's more astonishing rather than being a scary place. You know, the Lake of Ghosts is an unspoiled natural place, so it's home to wild animals like fox, boar, as well as wild dogs. I won't get close to the surrounding areas of the lake. This lake is also home to different species of fish, frog, and snake. Well, I have to leave before it's too late. Honestly, the sound of animals and the eerie scenery is frightening me. Until next time, goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
One of the things that we have in the month of Rajab is a dua after the prayers we're told to read. Let's go over that dua a little bit and try to remind ourselves of the meanings contained within this supplication, that we're told to remind ourselves of it and supplicate to Allah. We address Allah, Ya man arjuhu likulli khair. Then, Wa amanu sakhatahu inda kulli shar. This very beautiful. Amanu sakhatahu inda kulli shar. Any shar that I see, I amanu. Amanu means I feel secure, I am secure. وَآمَنُوا سَخَطَهُ. سَخَط is wrath. آمَنُوا سَخَطَهُ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَرْ. Whenever there's shar, I آمَنُ, I feel secure, I am secure of his wrath. In other words, any shar that comes my way, anything that is hard, difficult, seems like shar, from my perspective, it's all shar. آمَنُوا سَخَطَهُ. What is this shar? آمَنُ سَخَطَهُ عَنْدَ كُلِّ شَر. This means that when there is shar that's happening, this is not God being angry at me, and it's masroof عَنِّي, it's turned away from me because of the dua, which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we need to think of the meaning of shar. What is the meaning of shar? What is shar? What is it that we're trying to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to turn away from us? What is that? The Ahlul Bayt didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn hardship away from them and not to allow any hardship to come their way. They didn't ask that, they ask for shar to be turned away from them. We take hardships, difficulty as being shar. Perhaps when we ask, وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي بِمَسْأَلَةِ يَا جَمِيعَ شَرِّ الدُّنْيَا وَشَرِّ الْآخِرَةِ, what we're thinking of are these things. I don't want to get in a car crash. I don't want to get COVID. I don't want to get this. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to be paralyzed. I don't want this problem. I don't want that problem. I don't want to lose my job. I want to... All these things, these negative things that we consider and we see as negative, we consider these things as shar. Well, if these things were kept away from the Ahlul Bayt, well, clearly that's not the case. The Ahlul Bayt, Fadak was taken away from Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Amir al-Mu'mineen had troubles and difficulties in all the ways that you know. Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Husayn, Imam Zain al-Abidin, every single one of them. All these hardships, difficulties, whether it's illness, whether it's mistreatment, it's all these things came their way. So, but it seems like none of those are shar, because otherwise, that's the thing. So what is shar? Shar is what's against the person's makeup as a believer. What is going to harm the believer that wants to be a believer. For a believer, for someone who identifies and understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. They understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything and everyone. They understand Inna Lillah, we all belong to Him, wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They understand, as we read in those verses, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. What they see as believers is that what's bad and what's wrong is God's wrath. What is bad and what they're trying to avoid and what is horrible for them is divine wrath, God being angry at them. They're asking for that not to happen. They don't care if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy on them, on a believer, on the imams of the believers, a'immatul iman, a'immatul huda, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, gives illness, gives hardship, then that's not a bad thing. That's why يُؤَمَنُ سَخَطَهُ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَرٍ. The shar that happens, that is wrath for others, أَمَنُ سَخَطَهُ, I feel secure from that, of that. It's not, divine wrath is not towards me. So I'm a mu'min. I'm addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have this hope towards Him. As a mu'min, as long as we are mu'mineen, as long as we are mu'mineen, then the shurur that happened, which is God's wrath towards any person, any people, that amanu sakhata, that shar is occurring, that shar that's occurring towards others and it's not towards me, and I see it, amanu sakhata. Let me give some examples. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, the mawlud of this month, was in conditions where what people, some of the people surrounding him did very wrong things, and divine shar, they were gathering from themselves, God's wrath was on them. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah alayh, is observing that. He feels amn. He knows this is not for me. Other examples, Quranic examples, Musa and Fir'aun. Musa takes his people through the sea, Amn, and Fir'aun and his company and his people and those who followed him, divine wrath. A mu'min's life is taken, a kafir's life is taken. For the mu'min, when the life is taken, even in hardship, even with difficulty, even with illness, it's not divine wrath, it's divine mercy. The kafir's life is taken. We have mu'mineen that drown in water. Isn't it such? Isn't it the case? We have good mu'mineen that got drowned in water. Fir'aun got drowned in water too. But for Fir'aun, it was wrath. For the believer, it's mercy. This is very important for us to understand. As mu'mineen, if we want to ascend higher, understand the meanings of these du'as. They're teaching us hardship isn't shar. For a mu'min, hardship is a blessing from Allah. Amanu sakhatahu 'inda kulli shar. Even when others, the same illness, the COVID that has come, the kuffar, that, not the non-Muslims, I've repeatedly mentioned this, what we mean by kuffar is not anyone who is not Muslim. We're talking about the bad people, horrible or bad to the core. This is what kufr is. The kuffar who get the virus and they die, it's shar for them. For a mu'min, it's khair. The same COVID virus. They both go to the hospital. They both go through hardships. For the mu'min, it's khair. For the mushrik, for the kafir, it's shar. A war is happening between mu'mineen and kuffar. Daesh is fighting Fatimiyun, Zainabiyun, Hezbollah, the Sepah, all these different groups are also fighting. People on this side get killed, people on the other side get killed. In fact, the mu'mineen are tortured to death over there. The kuffar are shot dead or an explosion. Both sides die. For the mu'min, it's rahmah, it's not divine wrath. For the kuffar, it is divine wrath. Not that we're making this stuff up. Look, we get this material, this information from the Quran, from the words of the Ahlul Bayt. It's important. Why does Ibrahim not care if he's thrown in that fire, if he burns? Because he knows if he burns, it's not divine wrath. Amanu sakhatahu 'inda kulli shar. This is what that means.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Islamic Revolution revives a Muslim woman's model. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are in the 10 days done, the period marking the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. Iran's Islamic Revolution triumphed with the presence of the whole Iranian nation from all walks of life. Yet, women played a very outstanding and effective role in this regard. Before the revolution, the Western view on women was dominant in Iran, and the Shah regime had done its best to fight all human values in women to turn them into the tool of implementing the American and European goals in the country. The instrumental look on women had begun since 19th century and reached Iran in early 20th century, but it reached its climax in 1970s with the growth of materialistic thoughts and technological and cinematic progress. Thus, secularism spread all over the country. This thought deemed no value for religion in society and politics, and limited it to individual life. Europe and the United States were introduced as the examples of progress and ideal life, and religion was introduced as the enemy of modernism and progress. The first ruler of the Pahlavi regime, Reza Khan Mir Panj, was an illiterate and self-conceited man who was a servile stooge of colonialists. In view of this, he blindly followed the dictates of his masters in the West, and as one of his first steps in modernizing Iran, he ordered the prohibition of hijab by women. Thus, the military and police of the regime would beat women and force them to remove their chador and scarf in public. Many ladies preferred not to go outdoors for years to keep their chastity and dignity. As his date was expired, Reza Khan was dethroned by the British, and his equally servile son, Mohammad Reza, was brought to the throne by Britain. Mohammad Reza continued his father's path. He left no stone unturned to change the Iranian lifestyle into a Western one. He himself was a licentious man to the extent that some writers wrote down his immoral, behind-the-scene lifestyle in their books and memoirs. Ali Shahbazi was one of the forces of the Shah's special guard who wrote in his memoir, "From the time of Asadullah Alam's premiership, his ministry had set up a special center for entertainment of Shah Their job was to bring married women, beautiful girls or wives, and daughters of those who wanted to obtain a position for the Shah. The great leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, said on the oppression and injustices that women had suffered during the Pahlavi regime. Woman has been oppressed in two phases. One was during the Jahiliya, or the period of pre-Islam ignorance, which Islam did a favor to human being and took woman out of the injustice and oppression she was in. The other one was in our Iran that woman was oppressed, and it was during the era of the former Shah and his successor. Claiming that they want to liberate woman, they wronged women. They took woman down from the position of nobility and dignity that she had. They turned woman from the position of a spirituality into an object. And in the name of freedom, free women and free men, they took freedom away from woman and man and made women and youth immoral. Imam Khomeini believed that woman has a dignified and lofty status. She can reach the highest degree of spirituality while engaging in scientific, political, and social activities. He said that the ultimate goal for mankind, regardless of their gender, is to get proximity of God. Being a servant of God and worshiping Him is not limited to gender. The Imam said, "Woman is a human, and that's a great human. Woman is the educator of society. It is from the woman's lap that humans are trained. It is from the woman's lap that man ascends to heavens. Happiness and misery of countries depend on woman. Woman makes human being through her correct training and develops the country through her correct training." Imam Khomeini then refers to the view of Islam and the beautiful conduct of the Prophet of Islam toward woman, saying, "The history of Islam is witness to the unbounded respect of the Messenger of God to his daughter, to this noble child, Lady Zahra, peace be upon her, to show that woman holds a special greatness in society to the extent that, if it is not superior to man, it is not less than him." Imam Khomeini used to recommend women to strive in acquisition of knowledge and attaining moral virtues, as they are the source of happiness and every good thing for society. Years into the victory of the Islamic Revolution, effective efforts have been made to survive women's dignity in Iran. Muslim women of Iran have achieved many progresses in a variety of domains, such as sciences, sports, technologies, arts, and so on. They have strongly proved that having hijab is by no means an obstacle on the way of reaching pinnacles of progress. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says, "Woman, in the logic of Islam, has a perfect model and a structure. An Islamic woman is the creature which has faith and chastity. She holds the most important part of training human being. She is effective in society. She has scientific and spiritual growth. She is the administrator of the very important family center and the source of calm for the male gender. All these exist beside female characteristics like fineness, tender-heartedness, and preparedness for reception of divine rights. And this is the model of the Islamic woman. On the contrary, there has always been a deviated model in history. Today, that deviated model is the Western woman, whose characteristic, instead of those outstanding and lofty ones which we mention for Islamic women, is to be able to draw the attention of men and please them. Thus, the Western woman is characterized by nakedness, You can see that a man should be fully clothed in their ceremonies, while a woman should be as naked as possible.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
January 5th, 2022.
The next point, which in my opinion is very important, is the issue of preserving unity in the country. We must reduce the factors that create discord as much as we can. Of course, there are differences in opinion, viewpoints, methods, and mentalities. These things exist. But we should not let them lead to taking stances against one another. The people's solidarity should not be destroyed by these things. We should not allow these differences to become exacerbated. Of course, there are naturally some individuals who stand up against the revolution, and the revolution has no choice but to stand up against them. But if the issue is about differences of opinion and differences in taste, and if these differences exist in society, they should not cause national solidarity to be destroyed. In other words, the collective decision to defend the country, to help the country progress, and to inspire hope in the youth of the country should remain firmly in place. We should know that there are always some people in the enemy's camp whose expertise is creating discord. They have an expertise in creating discord in order to rule, divide and rule. This is an old policy which originates from these individuals. They know how to do this. We see that they have done this wherever they could. One such policy is creating religious discord. For instance, between Shia and Sunni. We should not allow these things to happen or to become exacerbated in the country.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Well, Shia and Sunni people have been living together for centuries. They have been living together without any problems for many years. Of course, there have been some differences between some ethnic groups. There have been some issues between various ethnic groups, but there have not been any problems or conflicts between the Shia and the Sunni. Now, if some individuals find an excuse to create such discord, of course such a thing has not happened so far, but we should not let it happen and we must be vigilant. For instance, if someone makes a wrong comment and someone else responds to them out of their sense of responsibility, this should not be dragged out and continued. Therefore, everyone should preserve this state of solidarity. Pay attention to this fact, that the Islamic Republic is an Islamic government and its flag is the flag of Shiaism. But even in the Islamic countries where Sunnis are living, sometimes people express their interest in the Islamic Republic. They express their interest, advocacy, cooperation and support. In many countries from East Asia to West Africa, there are those who look at the Islamic Republic in this way, but they are not Shia.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.